three women and the children then went back to Washington, D.C.
With me. Yes.
Uh-huh. And you were to testify at the hearings about what happened?
Yeah. We were all in the White House, and the president at that time wanted to know
Wilson.
About different things, and this woman started saying different things. Yes, 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 thank you, sir. He said, now, Mr. Thomas, we want to hear from you. That was the president.
That was Wilson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, did you go before a committee of Congress?
No. But the two men on the end of that picture, they were in that. So maybe they were sent. Senators or something.
Yes, one is Senator Keating of Colorado, I noticed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How long were you back in Washington then?
Well, you see, the Union was very down and out at that time. They gave us money to send us back to Colorado, but they couldn't afford to keep us.
How long did you stay then?
Oh, we were there. We were speaking around in different places for about 2 weeks, I guess.
Just in Washington or all around the country?
No, we were different places, Philadelphia and a few places, I don't remember.
Was it to raise, it was to raise money for?
No, they didn't try to raise money.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
It was just to tell people?
Wherever we were, there were big crowds in there, listening. And my brogue was pretty Welshy at the time, and maybe a lot of them couldn't understand me, but anyway, they really cheered, but some of them actually cried. But, it was an awful thing.
So the three of you went around and spoke about what happened then?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just for about 2 weeks.
I see. And that was to get support for the Union then?
Yes, mm-hmm. And the Union supported it.
And then, but you never spoke, there was some congressional investigation into the massacre. You never testified before any committees at Congress.
No, only before the president.
Uh-huh. Now, before you went, during the massacre, you at one point when you were up on the hill helping them load the rifles, could you... Look, were you looking down on the tents then? Could you see them?
Well, we could see them way off.
Mm-hmm.
You see, those soldiers, they were about, I'd say, a mile or two from our camp. They had no business to come right in front of you. Whoever thought of that was a fish not men. He put us on a hill by ourselves. It wasn't exactly a hill, but it was far enough away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
what had happened to your husband during the massacre?
Well, he had gone. You see, it was so hopeless that the strike was ever going to be settled. That the Union were finding jobs for them in other places. And he was one of the they found a job for, and he was gone. They weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So he escaped all that.
Oh, he left before it all happened?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Well, they sent several men, and men that wanted to find jobs someplace else, and he went on.
Oh, I see. And did you ever go to a doctor about your wound?
No. It wasn't very bad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was very bad. A man just bandaged it. It was when we were filling the rifles.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall anything else about the whole incident itself that you haven't told me?
About what?
Do you recall anything else about the whole incident related to Ludlow that you haven't told me?
Well, let me see. Well, things got so bad, everybody was down and out. and we were piled into a big hall. It wasn't exactly a, it was some kind of a room, a big room, and we got in there right after it was all over, where we had finally got so we could relax, you know. And the church people came around to see what happened, different churches. And they came around, and most of them were Catholics, and I was a Baptist. So they went around, and this one woman, she said, "You look like nobody here for you. What denomination are you?" And I said, I'm Baptist. Well, she said, "I'm Catholic, but I would like to help you." And I said, "I'd be glad to help from anybody." And she was a young woman. She was probably 2 or 3 years older than I was, maybe. Or more than that, I think she was about 5 or 6 years older. And she said, "Would you like to come over?" She said, I'm a waitress, she said, in that hotel over there. She said, "And I've got a room up above, and there's a place there where you can take a bath. Would you like to come with me?" "Certainly would like to take a bath." So we went with her. And she had some clothes of her child. She had them in a Catholic school. So she happened to have some of their clothes there. And she bought the clothes. And it was a little boy and a girl. But mine were two girls.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought clothes for two girls. And we really were happy about that. That's when the men came to take it to Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see. So this is one after you were out of jail already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, when you, after Washington, D.C., though, you went back to Colorado again?
Yes, I went back to Colorado because people needed, you know, the Depression was on. And you couldn't get any money from anybody anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really bad. So I never thought, you know, that when I went back, all I saw was old sticks from the ground and iron beds that just looked like ghosts. And I didn't know what to do with that. And they'd given me money enough to go back, you know. So I decided I'm going to spend this money to go back east. It's better than living here among the ghosts. So I went the best I could. And I went back there. But I went to Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
This girl had a job in Salt Lake City. This one that helped us. Her husband had been beating her so bad she didn't have no place either. Very fine woman. Raised very religious. So she took care of me. By this time, I got down very sick.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone back east, but no further than Salt Lake. That wasn't very far in those days. So she was working in a place there, and she had this trouble with her husband. Every time he got drunk, he'd come in and want money from her. Well, she had to leave there. She left, and she had gone to Colorado where we were. But she happened to be there just the day that we came there, see?
I see.
So just luck. So when she heard about all this poverty, she just came in to help,
mm-hmm.
So that's how I met her.
I see. Now, Mary, right after the massacre, I understand that many Union supporters from all over came in after the whole place was destroyed, and that there was a battle that went on for several days after that.
Yes, that was up in the mountains.
Do you recall that at all?
No, I wasn't in that. That was up in the mountains.
Uh-huh.
That was this, where the man that was our boss took the men out of the way. The men wanted to go and kill everybody there, the miners.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no. He said, let's... But they went from one town to the other, and they started shooting. We'll kill you, you bastard. We will kill you. And they went from one place to the other, and they shot at a lot of people. I don't think they managed to kill them because they were protected.
Mm-hmm.
They were hit. They were hiding.
Mm-hmm.
But this boss that was there at the time, his name was in there too. I don't know, since I got older, I didn't know that my memory would go like that. But I think you just got me in time from complete. But that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you, was your father a miner involved in the unions? How did you happen to be such a strong union supporter?
I wasn't.
You weren't?
That, I wasn't, only that I had been, I've been singing for the, everybody knew me here, owing to my singing, and before all the firing, you know, they all knew me, you know, and they all wanted me to sing songs, for, I mean the union heads, and Mother Jones, she wanted me, she was one of the head ones too, you know, and one night she walked in from, they were going to arrest her. And when the railroad man said, watch out, he said, I better let you off here. They heard you talk, they're going to arrest you. So she walked, I think, just 3 miles into the camp. And I saw someone coming with a hat over her head. And I thought, my God, that's Mother Jones. And she used to come and stay with me, you know, just talk with me in my tent. So she came in and I said, what are you walking for? And she told me how the railroad men had warned her that they were going to arrest her at the next stop. So she walked in without them knowing. And she came to my tent and she stayed there till middle of the night. And then Charlie Coster, the one that died that was stretched out, he came in. He got a car from, I mean a truck or something. And he took her to the city in the middle of the night. So they didn't find him, they didn't catch him.
Well, up until the time of the Ludlow incident, you had not been active in the union?
No. My father was a union man in Wales. And of course I was in sympathy with him. And my brothers were.
Mm. So you did come from a long tradition of union people
then. Yes, I did. All union.
So you just took it for granted that this is what you would be?
Well, I was in favor of the union man. It doesn't matter whether he's right or wrong. But I knew they, in those days, they didn't have nothing in Wales either. Before they could talk to a boss, he had to take off his hat and yes sir and yes sir. Now you wouldn't catch him do that, would you?
No, now they're going to be pretty tough about accepting that contract even.
Yeah.
You know, the new contract.
Well, I hope they just don't go too far this time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, you know, there's such a thing as going too far. But I'm favoring the union, because I've been union all my life. I could know anything else but to me.
Now, where after you went to Salt Lake City then, did you divorce your husband in the meantime?
No, but when I did see him, he got smart. If you behave yourself, he said, you'll be all right. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've got another woman, he said. And he said, if you do this, if you do that, why, everything will be all right. I said, now I've got something to say. I said, you son of a bitch. I said, I've come to tell you that I've got another man in mind. And I did. The one that I seen met on the boat coming over. I said, you are nothing to me. I never wanted. Boy, did that kill him.
Well, when were you finally divorced then?
Oh, I didn't get a divorce till quite a while after that.
Oh.
Because I had no money to get.
I see. And what did you do in Salt Lake City? You worked there?
This woman that had this husband that used to beat her all the time. Why, she got me the job. And she showed me how to do things, you know.
What kind of job was that?
Waitress. But I had never done waitress work. She hit out, you know. She'd do something that I should have done, but she never. She was kind of a boss that you. She wasn't exactly a boss. She was a very clever waitress. So then I got very sick. It had all come down, and I had a breakdown right after that. And she was very good to me. I had my children with this woman that was a friend of mine, that her husband had brought the food to us. And she was very fond of me and the children. I'd left my children.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. So when I had this breakdown, she didn't know. She got somebody to look after me, take care of me, while she was waitress. And she was a Mexican woman. And I'd be darned if I didn't get smallpox. One thing right after the other.
What led to the breakdown? The events at Ludlow?
No, that was in Salt Lake. I'd gone to Salt Lake with because she had invited me there.
Right. But what,
I had no place to go.
What led to the breakdown, do you think?
Just well, all that I had gone through. I had a nervous breakdown. And not only that, I mean the breakdown, I had smallpox. So I was away for about 2 months. Not knowing what to do or where to go. So I finally got and she was taking care of me all the time, but she couldn't come out where I had smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
But she would send things by the doctor that went out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear, did I have it.
Now, when did you finally go back for your children then?
Well, my children was kept away. Oh, their father found out where they were. And he was laying up with me with some woman now, you know. And he had the children with him. And when I got out and got cleared up, I found out where they were. And this friend of mine, this waitress, she gave me money to go there, get them. And I got the children away from him. Well, he wasn't there. And I went from door to door to find my children. Nobody knew where they were. So somebody told me, well, there's two children in what's the name of that place? Near, this was near.
Was this in Colorado again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they told me that I went from door to door to try to find my children. And nobody knew, nobody had seen, nobody knew of Sammy's children. And the last door I went to, no, I don't know. But the some two little girls in that house over there, I don't know who they are or where they come from. But the two little girls over there, that's mine, I'm sure that's mine. That's mine. So I knew that he wouldn't let me get them. So I didn't take a chance. I went to the front of the house. I went through the back. And I went inside. And there was my eldest little girl wiping the dishes. And I went in. Oh, Mother, Mama. Oh, Mother, where have you been? And I said, well, lots of things have happened. This woman was sitting there. And she told her son, go and get their father. And I said, hurry up and get your hats and coats. So this girl had given me money enough to get away from her. So I got away, and we went to Salt Lake City. And did he write a pathetic letter? He said, you not only took yourself away from him, you took my children. I took him.
How long did you live in Salt Lake City then? How long did you then live in Salt Lake City after that?
Well, he didn't know exactly where we were, you know. So this girl had two of her children in the Catholic school there. And she said, Mary, why don't you put your children in the Catholic? I said, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm not a Catholic. Well, they won't care about that. Start to think that the children's got to live regardless.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very swell girl. She was about 5 years older than I was. She said, I'll help you, she said, but don't let them children get so that he can get a hold of them.
What, do you recall her name, Mary?
Yes, it's in the book.
Okay, I'll find it.
You tried to get the children just to get you back. Well, he never kept me back. So, anyway, when I got the children, I didn't take a chance of taking the train because he'd trace it. So I hired a cab. I hired a cab out of the last money I had. I went back where Harriet. Name was Harriet, first name, where Harriet was. So I said what I had done. She said, why don't you put him in the Catholic school? They'd never find them there. And I said, all right, you think they'll take them? They will. I'll talk to the superior. She knows me. So I went there. Harriet was a very religious girl.
Mm.
She's a very religious person. And when we went there, I told the woman, she said, are you Catholic? I said, no. I said, I'm a Baptist. I said, but I would appreciate it if you did. I said, oh, yes, we were. They wanted them to, see, because they got a chance to make Catholics on them, see. So that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
One religion is as good as the other. So when we got there, and then I could go to work, she got me a job then where she worked.
I see. Mm-hmm. As a waitress again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the depression was bad. And men had to close up, and you couldn't get a job for love nor money. Well, I didn't know what was going on. We went from one place where they were taking somebody in to give them a job, what do you call them?
One of the agencies?
Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Went from one to the other. Nobody could give us a job. No, nothing doing anywhere. And the place was full of men, very few women. And we wanted a job as waitresses or wash dishes or anything. And he said, no, there's nothing to it, nothing to any salary, nothing to it. So we, those days we went upstairs to go to those places. So we were going down the stairs, just a skirt. We've been eating in Salvation Armies till now.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we've been eating, both of us. And then we went down, because I have the children in that school.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going down the stairs. And one of the men shot, here, you two there, come back here. We went, we got a job for two where the, all them big clubs are in Nevada.
In Reno?
This was in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't Las Vegas. It was a place near the border.
Reno?
No.
Lake Tahoe?
No, mm-hmm. It was closer than that. But anyway, we got a job in that place, and when we went there, it was run by Chinese. And the place was filthy too. And the smell, and full of drunken men. And all, but we had to go to work. And so we went to work. And we had a little bit of money to stay there. So she met a man there that she had known in Salt Lake. And so Harriet said, he's a good man, she said. And he wanted to take us out.
Mm-hmm.
And this other fellow with him, his name was,
mm-hmm.
He wanted to take me out. Well, anyway, any place to get us something to eat. So we went out with these two. And they were rich cattlemen, you know. Do you know that they've got horses to take us out riding them? Well, he said, what? He said, how do you like this place by now? He asked me. I said, not very much. We don't like it very much. I said, well, I think we'd be going back to Salt Lake as soon as we can, as soon as we get the money. Why don't you two get a restaurant of your own? He said. I said, well, with what? So we've got no money. Okay. He said, and not only that, where would you find a vacant place here? He said, yes, there is. He said, why? He said, that dance hall there. He said, they've got a place there with a kitchen, and they keep the cook there, and waitresses. He said, that would be a good job, he said. He said, I think you could buy it, rent it. And I said to Harriet, I said, what do you think about it? Well, I don't know, she said. I've never worked in a place like that. I don't know. But she said, we're so down and out, we haven't got no right to question. Both of us are down and out, and we can't stand that mm-hmm. place. So it's a filthy place. So went in and talked to them. And the one side of it back there, was a dance hall girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this over here was a restaurant. And she used to rent this restaurant out. And that's what I was trying to get.
I see.
So he said, I was given a good name by the old policeman that had seen me there. He felt sorry for the way we were, you know. And you were doing so much for the down and out with us. And believe me, everybody was down and out mm-hmm. during that depression. And she said, I don't know about renting it to her. She looks so young. He says, if it was the other girl, why, I wouldn't think so much of it. Why, it'd be all right. And Harriet spoke up and she said, well, I'm getting married, she said, but it'll be 4 or 5 months before I can be married, or to my having to settle things in my church.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I had intended going there to work with Mary until I get married.
Mm-hmm.
By that time she would be on to it. By that time she would be on to it, said the owner of the dance hall. So she rented me the dance hall. So there was good money made there. And then she had to go back. She had to go back because she had a family in New York, and she would be back. She always took her winters in New York, and she wanted me to take care of the dance hall. Oh, I said, I didn't know nothing about a dance hall. Oh, I didn't want to take care of the dance hall. So anyway, then it was I owned the dance hall.
Did you sing at all in the dance hall?
Did
you sing at all in the dance hall?
Yes, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But not much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sing much then because I worked hard in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Harriet about 6 months to get cleared with her church.
Now, when did you remarry then, Mary?
I didn't remarry him. Marry him. I divorced him in Nevada.
Uh-huh. And then when did you marry?
I married this man that I had fallen in love with.
What year was that you married? Do you recall?
I had met him on the boat.
Oh, and you then married him later.
And when I saw him, well, he had tried to marry me on the boat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But after he had left, I realized what a good man that would be.
Now, does this, your book goes up to, how recent does your book go?
What?
How far into the present does your book go?
Oh, it starts in Wales, right?
Uh-huh.
But becoming over about this man that I fell in love with.
Oh, so it goes up until?
Don. Uh-huh. Don, his name is.
Okay.
Don O'Neill.
Okay. Well, Mary, what I would like to do is look through the book.
Yeah. Okay. These people selling stories, when they find out you've got anything to do with the union, they won't take you. But somebody should show them up.
No, I mean, that's why what I'm interested in is to show how...